All right, so this is JJ with Decent Exposure Radio. I am with Trevor from the Black Dahlia Murder. How's Warped Tour been so far?
It's been good, man. Sweaty, but I think it's been definitely a good opportunity for us to stand out and make some waves. So, yeah, it's been good, man.
Awesome. All right, so being a little different than, I guess, the usual Warped crowd, have you noticed audience reactions and members being, like, evolving from skeptical and terrified to ultimately being won over?
Yeah, man, we see all kinds of things going on out there. There's a lot of people that come up to the front of the stage just waiting for all the bands to come up, and I don't think they're quite expecting us to come out there sometimes. So we see people that are trapped in the front, like, losing their shit. But also, we have had a lot of people checking us out, man, and just coming up to us afterwards and being like, I'd never even heard of you guys and was really impressed. And that's really why we're here, man, to kind of branch out and reach out to some new fans and, you know, just take advantage of being the kind of oddball band here. You know, it's definitely working out to our advantage here.
Okay, so the new album titled Everblack, in stores now, is kind of a response to those who have questioned the band for being on Warped Tour, maybe thinking that you might be changing the sound, and the lineup changes. With all the lineup changes over the years, how do you think that has helped to shape the sound?
Well, you know, as we got bigger, our success afforded us to look outside of Michigan for players, which was a big, big deal. And because we had kind of dried the pool up of talent that we could find around, you know what I mean? And I think that every member that's come through has been a talented guy, has also been cool, and kind of just left their fingerprint on the band. And it's been an evolution, you know what I mean? Now we have definitely some really exciting players in the band, and having Ryan Knight on lead guitar is just kind of like, it's perfect. It's what we always wanted, you know? Yeah, man, it's been an evolution, dude. You know, Ryan and I are here. We're gonna go the entire way. There's no change of plan on our part. You know what I mean? And I mean, we hope that these guys are gonna want to stick around. But as we've seen in the past, you know, people's destinies change, and it's a hard road out here. It's not, you know, it's not very cushioned out here. You know, it's a lot of camping-like circumstances, so I understand why people get sick of it, and, you know, but the band is gonna trudge onward, and Everblack is definitely a testament to that, and a testament to our perseverance, and that's kind of what, yeah, like you were saying, what the name is all about. Still black, still the same, still evil with these new guys, and, yeah, it's an exciting time right now. The new guys are great. There's a lot of positive energy in the group, and, yeah, man, it's been good. Definitely.
Absolutely. You set the bar really high for yourself with Ritual, and then you more than met it with Everblack, so you're all good on that front.
Oh, thanks, man.
All right, so for the album's cover, how did you get hooked up with Nick Keller?
I picked him out. I was just looking around for somebody that was going to be different, you know, not somebody that has been used a million times in metal. You know, there's a lot of artists that I really like, but it seems like when one album picks up on a guy, then all the rest of the scene sees that, and they're like, oh, I gotta go to that guy, too, and, you know, and then these artists get kind of, like, played out. But Nick was somebody that hadn't really done a whole lot in death metal, you know what I mean? He was more into fantasy art, and he's done some stuff for, like, the Hobbit movies and stuff like that, and so, you know, it was somebody that was a little bit out of left field, you know, but that I also knew would really nail it, and I had him approach it as, like, doing something that was old-school death metal, but also on steroids, you know what I mean? So we have the cemetery world there, you know? And I love the cover. I love the excitement that it's created for the album and for the music, and how the kids just look at it and they just go, yes, this is Black Dahlia, you know? And they see slight similarities to, you know, color palettes that we've had in the past, you know what I mean? I think that's kind of playing with their psychology a bit as well. Like, and, yeah, it's great to have the artwork just be as exciting as you want it to be, you know what I mean? It's hard to compete out there in these times because everything looks so good, man. In the last 10 years, I think that GD for Metal Records has come a long, long way, and there's been a lot of amazing art out there, but yeah, our hats are off to Nick for making an awesome cover, and I bet the rest of his year is already booked up with death metal album covers. That's just how it works.
You're welcome, Nick.
Yeah. All right.
So, over the last decade, you guys have been very consistent, releasing an album every other year. Is that something you consciously do? Like, all right, we're going to tour 1 year, then have an album out every other?
Yeah, pretty much, man. It's just like we started out on a 2-year schedule and it just seemed to work. And then we kind of figured out that if you align it to where the album comes out at the beginning of each summer, you know, then you could have an awesome tour synced up with it. And yeah, man, it's just been working so well. And I think it's kind of playing to the modern attention span of metal fans out there that are, A, downloading everything. So you can get a million different bands in one day. You know what I mean? It makes the music more disposable. You know what I mean? And also, I think people's attention spans are just lessened because of that whole avenue of acquiring music as well. And you know, we're just trying to stay fresh in their conscience, man. And it seems to be working. And but it is, you know, it is trying to uphold that kind of schedule as well, because we're on tour, say, 8 months a year, you know, on a good year, very busy, and it doesn't leave us a whole lot of time to write. So every time that we write a record, it is crunch time, and it is written, like, very quickly, and, you know, it's, I don't know, it's just all we've ever known is just the high-pressure situation, you know, but we feel a responsibility to keep moving, to keep stuff coming out, and like I said, so far, it's been working great, so that's just evidence enough to keep doing it, you know.
And that kind of goes into the next one. The metal isn't really a genre, death metal especially, for making a huge splash in the Billboard charts. That said, the last couple albums have cracked the top 50, more than cracked. They've been premiered within the top 50. What do you attribute that success to?
I mean, I think it's a few things. I think that, you know, metal as a whole is in an upswing right now in the States. It's kind of mirroring, like, in the early to mid-90s when death metal first came out, and you had a band like Obituary selling 200,000 copies, you know, which is amazing. But really, people downloading has leveled the playing field so much. I mean, like, there are so much fewer people buying all different kinds of music that it allows people in the indie spectrum to show up, you know, on the charts, such as us and, you know, different kinds of indie artists. And I mean, it's awesome. It's an awesome kind of testament to our time about metal. And, you know, I think it just speaks for the popularity of the whole extreme genre, I think, you know, to see us making a ripple when we haven't, you know, calmed down at all with our music. You know, if anything, it's more extreme, getting more extreme as we become better players, you know. So, I don't know, it's just cool that we've stayed the course and that it's working. You know, we have fans that are depending on us to be that band that's not going to change, that's not going to, like, you know, soften or get weird on them, you know, something that, you know, like Cannibal Corpse, you know, just an institution of a band. That's what we want to be. And yeah, man, it's awesome to see that kind of reaction. It just makes us want to keep going, you know. It's a hard time to sell any records at all, you know, so to see it still making a ripple is definitely cool and a huge compliment, you know. It's not the ultimate goal to be seen in the public eye like that or whatever, but more of it's just a measure of, like, what awesome is happening behind the scenes, I think, you know. It's cool. It's very cool.
Okay, so off the new album, Raped in Hatred by Vines of Thorn is obviously influenced by The Evil Dead. Any thoughts on the new movie?
I saw it. I thought it was, I don't know, I'm kind of a hard person to ask because I was so into the originals, you know. And I thought it was pretty lackluster, man. I thought even some of the effects from the old one looked better, you know, like the possessions and stuff. They just looked so perverted the way they were moving, and the vine rape scene was disappointing. The main characters, just, you don't care about them. You kind of miss Ash because he's awesome, you know, and then just having a person that you cared about if they lived or died, you know, it's like these two people, you're just like, whatever, fuck them. You know, and it has the kind of love story intertwined that every damn movie has now, no matter what. And I don't know, I won't be seeing it again, I don't think. But I didn't really mean to sync it up with the release of the movie, you know. It just, like, was kind of a coincidence. But I guess it was cool, man, because The Evil Dead is, like, so in people's consciousness right now, you know, that it has helped, I think, generate some excitement for the song and the album, which is kind of a cool just circumstance, you know. But yeah, that song was fun to write. Evil Dead has just been married to death metal for so long, you know. You look at the Scream Bloody Gore, it's arguably, you know, the first death metal record or one of the first, and it has the song Evil Dead on it, you know. You look at Embalmers had a song about Evil Dead, Deicide on their first album had a song about the Evil Dead, the Castle of Cantar and all that shit. And you know, it's just horror and death metal have been married forever, you know what I mean? So it's just a natural thing to bring it in.
I heard a rumor that maybe they're going to do a sequel to Army of Darkness, a sequel to this one, and then have them both characters, both protagonists meet in a seventh movie or whatever it is. So maybe it's going to happen, maybe not. I don't know. But, all right. So where did you find the gorilla costume for the Good of Departure video?
That one we've had for a long time. It's like some kind of mascot-grade costume. It basically started with the song Statutory Ape. Then we had this crappy-ass ape costume that we featured in that video. Then someone, like, drew a cartoon of the ape based on, like, what they saw in the video, and it looked really awesome, and that's when we started using it as kind of a mascot. Then we got the more advanced ape costume that you see in the DVD and stuff, and also in that video, but we just bought a new one today, actually, because it's so tattered. Like, the sides are split, the back is split. Like, so many people have worn it now that it's just, like, wretched inside from sweat, and, But yeah, man, you know, the ape was just kind of like an unsuspected, you know, mascot. It's not something we really planned, but I don't know, it's just kind of taken on another life. So you'll see all kinds of merch that has the ape there. But yeah, it all started with Statutory Ape, and yeah, the ape costume has done well for us, man. You know, it gets people excited, and, you know, it's just, it's definitely a good way to say that you don't take yourself very too seriously out there, you know what I mean? Kind of break up the monotony of a show, or... you know, just do something different, even though it's death metal, you know, to have a surprise, you know, and there's been, this band has definitely bucked a lot of trends within death metal and a lot of expectations of what you should look like and all this crap, you know. When we came out with this band, we just thought, whatever, we're a death metal band, all we do is, you know, all our influences are taken from death metal, it's all we like. They took one look at us in a magazine next to Azalea dying and having short hair and just started this whole different other thing, you know, where we were called a million different things and shit, and we used to be really uptight about, man, well, why aren't we called death metal and blah, blah, blah. But then you realize that there's this code of rules kind of in the elitist death metal scene that just makes it not an escape from high school, but just another high school in itself of bullshit and rules and stuff. So we've definitely been bucking a lot of trends throughout the, you know, the 12 years of this band, and the ape is kind of another middle finger, I guess, to the norm of expectation, and so, you know, that's kind of why he sticks around, I think, and just the fans like it, and I don't know, just good for getting that energy up, getting the muscles out there, let the people show their muscles.
Oh, there was, maybe it's still out there, for a vinyl release of Ever Black, you had a crime scene packet, I suppose. Is that still available, and where can people get them?
The packets are sold out. It has been solved for a while, but there are a lot of people that are still struggling to solve it, you know, because Kareem is behind the entire puzzle. Yeah, he used to be our tour manager and longtime ape suit wearer, but we still work with him. He works at Indie Merch, you know, and he was brainstorming this package with us, but he came up with the actual puzzle, and it was so hard to solve that, like, he had his wife test it, and she was, like, fucking so pissed. He was working on it for, like, 3 hours and couldn't figure it out. And there's been a lot of people that have been stumped by it, which I think is cool that it's just that right level of difficulty where it's not too easy and not too impossible, man. But if you want to find out how to do it, if you give up, check out Reddit. People have made a group on Reddit, and, like, they brainstormed on how to solve it. But, yeah, it's cool, man. The prizes associated with it are pretty cool. Very hardcore fan treats. I would tell you what they are, but that would kind of take the fun out of it for the last few stragglers out there. But it's been definitely cool, and the reaction, you know, has been good.
This goes back a few years, but when that kind of crappy Brian De Palma flick Black Dahlia came out, did everyone in the band just line up to see it?
I think we got wind that it sucked, like, as it came out, kind of, you know, and... I remember being afraid. I was like, is it bad to have a bad movie out with your band name and then, like, it sucks? And everyone's like, oh, you guys are named after that sucky movie. But it turns out I don't think enough people saw it. It didn't really become kind of any kind of phenomenon either way. I think, if anything, it raised the pronunciation awareness of Dahlia, which is great, which has been great, because we've been called so many fucking hilarious things. I mean, nowadays, I think people have Black Dahlia Murder. They've at least heard the name, but before it was like Delilah, Black Dahlia Murders, plural, you know, just like a million different variations. But maybe someday I'll check out the movie. I heard it's just another crappy modern love story movie, you know, and there's like the backdrop of the killing is in there as well. So I don't know. I hope a good one gets made someday. But I heard that there was, like, advancements in the field recently that they had a cadaver-sniffing dog involved somehow. Like, I think it's just amazing that the case basically just goes on and on, and that people care, and that, you know, I think people care because they want the glory of solving it, or, you know what I mean? They just want to have that, you know, this is, like, the quintessential L.A. kind of underbelly mystery, you know what I mean? Like, that signifies the darkening of times, you know, the death of the American dream, you know? An actress comes to L.A. with stars in her eyes and is just mercilessly butchered and left on the street, you know? And, yeah, it's just, you know, it just resonates with people, you know? It's still powerful, you know? When I think about it, I'm just like, damn, you know what I mean? So, I don't know, man. It's just, it's been good. It's been a good band name. It's been... You know, it's just, when I was jaded, you know, to all the violence of death metal, you know, which is just what happens when you've been around it so much, and that when I found out about the case, it still, you know, it still scared me, it still stirred those emotions in me. I was like, perfect, perfect.
All right, so you guys covered This Mortal Coil by Carcass for Decibel Magazine a while ago. Is that your way of saying Heartwork is your favorite album of theirs?
I mean, Heartwork's up there. I think Heartwork is the one that has influenced our band the most, obviously, you know, them and, At the Gates, Slaughter of the Soul, those two records are at the very core of this band, pretty much. I'm more of a Necroticism guy, actually, but that was kind of where I took the vocals with Jeff and did the, like, layered thing, you know, so it sounded like old Carcass, you know, meets new Carcass, kind of, and, yeah, you know, I love Carcass, obviously, Tools of the Trade tattoo here. I'm glad they're back. The new song sounds good. I hope that we get to tour with them again. We played two shows with them, like, the first time they reunited and stuff. And I'm just happy that that young people are going to catch on to Carcass and know about them, because I think they're such an important piece of this death metal puzzle, and that, you know, kids are so fickle and times change so rapidly that I think a lot of history gets lost in extreme music, you know? Kids are just going to listen to whatever's hot at the second, and... I think it's important that you look back to the past, and, you know, Carcass is really just, I don't know, an awesome band, incredible, you know, intelligent band. The way their music was written was intelligent. It's not the first word you think of when you hear death metal, what the common person thinks of when you hear death metal, but that's what it was.
So what else is on your plate for the rest of the year?
We got a brief European tour, Euro-UK tour with... Aborted and Revocation coming up shortly after this. Then we'll be back around the States in the fall. I can't reveal quite who with yet because of, you know, the politics of Warped Tour and stuff, but pretty much at the end of this we'll be announcing it. It's an awesome tour. We'll be headlining and be back around the States, business as usual. And then we have all the other stuff is tentative, but we have Australia coming up. We have everything, full-scale, world, global attack. So, yeah, if you're waiting to see us, it's coming. We're just getting started for Ever Black, so.
That's good. I always end interviews with this question. You're stuck in a desert island, no hope of rescue, one album, putting you on the spot. What is it?
I guess Rust in Peace, man. It's not perfect, but it's so close. Really, that only thing, the only reason it's not perfect is that song where he, like, talks and makes the bat sound with his mouth. It's like, come on, bro. You can get a bat sample. Or you don't even have to do this stupid-ass song. But the song after, the song Rust in Peace, is incredible. That's an incredible song. I think that would be it, man.
That's fine. That's respectable.
You know, each song's got, like, what, 10, 11 solos in it? And they're all amazing. I think that's the best soloing that's ever been on a metal record. Those Marty Friedman, dude, right there.
And Nick Menza. He helped.
Nick Menza, killer. That was their best lineup, best record. It's perfect. It's wonderful.